Hey there, fans of Brotherly Love Wrestling. It is I, Vic Delicious.
Philly's own, the Mecca here.
It is the real McCoy, J.D.X., Justin D. Xavier.
It's your man, C.D., the Fallen Angel, Christopher Daniels.
Hello, boys and girls. This is your old friend, R.J. City.
Hey there, Brotherly Love Wrestling. Bill Carr here.
Hey everyone, this is two-time guest Wheeler Yuta.
Two bozos from Philadelphia flapping their gums about pro wrestling this, pro wrestling that.
Which is not that unique in the grand scheme of things yet.
You are in for a treat because you're tuned in to Brotherly Love Wrestling.
Philadelphia, are you ready?
This is Brotherly Love Wrestling Podcast, your first stop for everything professional wrestling. So sit back and enjoy wrestling talk at its finest with your hosts, Larry Hall and Joe Corrado.
Welcome everybody to Brotherly Love Wrestling. As Joe interrupts my intro,
that's a first for me.
It is. Well, probably not. Yeah. We've done this long enough. But
dude, how long? Really, 5 years. This is the fifth year, 2017. No, this is the sixth year.
We started December of 2017.
So this December will be our six-year anniversary.
Yes.
All right, so let's talk this into the atmosphere. For 6 years, we have to get Sean Waltman on for six.
I'm down for that. That makes sense.
If it's at all possible, we'll just speak that into the universe. And then seven, we'll get Dustin Rhodes.
Yeah, I don't think that's ever going to happen.
He blocked us on social media. So
For no reason.
Maybe there was a reason.
I don't think there was.
If there was, it was probably my fault. I probably talked shit on him. He probably rightfully deserved it.
Yeah, I never understood why we were blocked by Dustin Rhodes. I never understood that. But Sean Waltman, I think, is more attainable than he is.
You think?
I think so.
How?
Because I don't know. I just feel like
he's more down to earth.
Well, yes, yeah, absolutely. I think he's probably more down to earth.
God, even if we just got him for like 10 minutes, it might be the greatest 10 minutes we've ever put on.
I mean, I don't know. That could be debatable. We had fucking Ricky Morton for an hour. It's gonna be hard to beat that.
Here's the thing, though. We didn't grow up watching Ricky. We're not in our.
Did we need to, though? That show was so fucking great. I don't think I needed to.
Here's the thing. You're marking out more for X-Pac on the show just because of the time we watched.
All right, I'll give you that.
I'm trying to think of this logically. For us, yeah. For us personally, that would be our biggest moment. It would be. We literally watched him as children.
Yeah.
Our fathers watched Ricky as children. And that's no slight to Ricky. I mean, he's 50 years?
50 years wrestling, yes.
50 years in the fucking business.
Yeah, well, and that, like you said, like watching his children, Waltman is a part of my first ever memory of pro wrestling.
Yeah.
That 1-2-3 Kid Razor moment. That's my first memory of ever watching wrestling.
That's my first memory of him. Like, that's like what probably if I rank his most significant moments, I'd put that up there.
So, let's get into the show.
You think we can get him on as Mark Henry?
Me as Mark Henry, you mean? Yeah, I doubt that. Different time.
You don't think that'll fly today?
I don't think that'll fly, no.
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 I think you're probably right. I think that's a safe bet.
So, coming off Monday Night Raw, granted we're recording this Wednesday night, a little late than usual. For us.
We're actually coming off NXT and currently in the middle of AEW Dynamite.
Yes. Actually, I'm glad you said that first. Hold on. Before we jump in, since NXT Vengeance Day, which is what, two weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, give or take.
I want to say yes.
I think this is the second Tuesday just passed after Vengeance Day. And so that pay-per-view was so good. I wanted to see how the build was going to be going forward, because now we have Stand and Deliver coming WrestleMania weekend for NXT. So
how long has that been a name for?
Huh?
How long has that been a name for? Is this the second Stand and Deliver?
I think last year was the first time it was Stand and Deliver.
I don't know if I like it.
Yeah. I mean, obviously they've had better, but so I watched last week, and I watched the great moment between JC Jane and Gigi Dolin with the tribute.
Huh? What kind of memories that bring back for you?
The tribute to the barbershop window, obviously produced by Shawn Michaels, or an idea by Shawn Michaels. It was well done, obviously. Like we were texting when it happened that, like, it's a classic. It works, especially for a tag team.
Doesn't it? It just works.
Mm-hmm.
It's all there is to it. It's one of those things that we always talk about. A certain formula that they've got, and it just always works. Mm-hmm. This shit does when done properly.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's not done as well, but I feel like it's such a layoff.
Mm-hmm. And it was almost done shot for shot. Like, if you watch that, I watched it again tonight before NXT started, because they played it back.
Who's the other one? Not Gigi, the other one?
JC. JC
Jane. JC wearing leather like he was?
Yes. Yeah. she was wearing leather tonight as well. Last night, I'm sorry.
And Gigi's hair was red, so I guess that's kind of like the red shirt on Marty Jannetty.
On Marty. But that
Is it a slap in the face for everyone that, like, because now you're labeled the Jannetty.
She has to
win. Like, you can't have the Jannetty always lose.
Well, let's look at it this way. Gigi is not in the mental or physical capacity that Jannetty was at that point in time. She doesn't do what Jannetty goes out and does. So you're going to have a babyface run. You're going to have this whole feud. This is going to be much better than a Shawn Michaels, Marty Jannetty feud back in the 90s. Like, it's going to be. So it's going to be completely different, except the scenario where it started and how the feud started is going to be the same. But this is going to be a lot better as far as feud goes.
It's going to be far less mullets, too.
Oh, yeah. Well,
there's three mullets. There's three good top-tier mullets in that whole scene. You got Brutus the Barber rocking probably, one of the more badass mullets. And, like, when I think of mullets, like, the badass mullets of WWF, I think Barber's up there. I think Crush is up there, too. Crush had.
Underrated.
Crush had a hell of a mullet.
Yeah, underrated. I agree.
With the cranium crunch, that fucking, like, luau crush.
Mm-hmm.
He's a hot, white, hot baby face. And then you had Shawn, had the, like, puffy fucking
feathered back.
Yeah, he's like a feather. His mullet was like, it had volume. Yeah. He had a very volume-esque fucking mullet. Jannetty's was just all over the place. I wouldn't put Jannetty's as one of the tops.
No, I don't.
It wasn't properly done. No. It was a mullet that didn't care. That was a mullet that didn't care at all. The other two cared. They looked good. The other two took pride in their mullet. Jannetty just said, fuck it, I got a mullet, and this is it. This is what it's going to be. Not doing anything to it. That's how it's going to be. It's kind of how his wrestling career went.
He was too pilled up and liquored up to even care about his hair. So I don't think the mullet mattered.
The mullet always matters.
Not to Jannetty, it didn't.
He didn't know how to appreciate it. It's like a man who doesn't know how to keep his mustache nice and groomed. Like Dan Severn. Dan Sellard. Dan Severn, hell of a stash. That was a tongue, almost a tongue twister.
You made it a lot harder than it had to be. I'll tell you that.
Shut the fuck up.
Where the fuck did we go? I'm trying to talk about NXT, and we went down this fucking path of mullets and fucking mustaches.
You know what happened is I just started talking, and you kind of just went, okay, I guess this is happening. You just sat back. You were somewhat engaged. Like, I brought you in. You tried to add what you could, but it really was just a purposeless rant on my end.
Here's the thing. When we are not in the same room, when we're not in the same room, especially recording like this, I don't know how many people know about it or not, but when we record in Zoom, if you talk over the other person, it fucks the audio up. So it's real choppy. So, but we're in the same room, it's easier to cut somebody off and continue talking. But here, I can't do that because our audio would just sound like shit. So you have a free-for-all to just keep going because I'm not going to stop you because it's going to sound like shit. I might as well let you spout craziness all you want.
Here's the thing. I did not know that, and I am going to take full advantage of this now. As if I didn't already. Yeah. Now I'm in the know. You say live in the now. I'm living in the know.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I kind of let you go when we go Zoom.
Rude.
See, even then, I missed the SC of screwed there because I was talking. It just, I have to just let you go. That's why I did that. Yeah. Nice try. So, can we talk a little NXT? I know you don't watch it. You've gotten out of it since the rebrand.
That's true, but I'm going to put a gray area on it.
Okay.
I don't want to watch it. It's just that it doesn't have me interested enough to, like, if I tried, I would watch it, but I just don't. I don't have that try. And it does sound... Sounds pretty stupid when it comes to watching TV. I just don't try to watch it. Right? Well, it sounds stupid. It's one of the easiest things to fucking do.
You're not invested. There's nothing pulling you to watch. Just like AEW. You got lost on AEW. Nothing pulling you to watch on Wednesdays. So
really I don't think that their storylines are... I mean, that's the thing, though. I could be completely wrong. You're going to have to tell me if I'm completely wrong. I just feel like I divvy up the time... like the necessary time. Like I feel like Raw and SmackDown are what I want to see. I especially now. I mean, I'm not going to take away from the AEW spiel you're about to go on, but WWE is far and beyond better.
I agree. I don't disagree with that. But NXT, I'll tell you what, the thing I think you'll like about NXT is obviously because we have usually the same opinion on wrestling. Some of the stories have developed really well. And some of those young guys and young girls are starting to develop and starting to catch fire and really starting to believe in those characters. Grayson Waller being one of them. Grayson Waller has impressed me a lot. When he first started, I was iffy on him. I didn't know if he would work. Now, after that match with Breaker and moving into last week, he has a feud going with Shawn Michaels, and he burst in on Michaels' press conference after Vengeance Day, and Michaels suspended him. And now, just last night, he lost another match. And then in the back, they're not physically fighting, but arguing in Gorilla, and Michaels, visibly angry, well, in quotes, angry, throws him out of Gorilla, and Matt Bloom, a.k.a. A-Train, has to escort him out of Gorilla. So this is kind of developing, which is a pretty cool storyline to have him kind of dealing with a guy that was like Shawn Michaels when Shawn Michaels was young. So it's kind of karma coming back on Michaels having to deal with a Grayson Waller. So I like that off the bat. I really like the way, obviously, JC Jane and this and Gigi thing. Gigi's going to be out for a while, so JC Jane's going to have to elevate now that she's a heel. She pulled a great promo off. The pacing was a little bit much. She felt like didn't take enough breaks. I think she like really rattled through it a little bit, but all in all, the message she delivered, I thought was pretty good. I think as more experience comes on the mic and she gets to be out there, she'll get that. But like, I thought it was great. Thought it was well done. Apollo Crews, his former partner or manager, Dabo Kato, came out after Vengeance Day and attacked him. And now they are locked in the feud. And I've seen Apollo have some personality and some anger in his eyes for the first time in a long time. So that intrigued me watching that. Other women, Roxy, Zoe Stark, like there are some legit women in that are building that division. Obviously, Nikita is another one. She's really good. Like,
is NXT, she though? I've never watched her physically wrestle, but I hear she's not that great.
No, she's good. She's very athletic. She uses more of the because the martial arts background that she has. And she uses that a lot. And she is really good. Now, it's more entertainment style, but like for how long she's been in, she's pretty damn good. And then the tag team, Kaden Carter, I can't remember Catanzaro's name, because they changed her name so many times. But I like them as a tag team. They're like the best friend, the women version of the best friends. I think NXT is ready to kind of make that jump. The only thing I didn't like about last night was Jinder Mahal challenging Bron Breakker for next week for the title.
Why just, not?
Because I don't want to. How do you feel about Alberto Del Rio?
In what sense?
If Alberto Del Rio came through that door and challenged for a title, how would you feel?
Alberto Del Rio is a scumbag.
So is fucking what? What has this? Is what I don't understand.
He's not a woman abuser.
Okay, I'm not saying outside the ring. I'm saying as a career. What is it about Jinder Mahal that draws you to want to watch a Jinder Mahal match or a Jinder Mahal promo? Period.
Here's the thing. I get where it's coming from. It's not Jinder Mahal that we're worrying about. It's a former champion that is challenging Bron Breakker. It's a stepping stone. It's more to legitimize Bron Breakker. Because fucking Jinder Mahal ain't beating Bron Breakker. He's just not. He's not getting that title off him yet. It's going to be whoever's going to beat Bron, they're going to make sure that they're the next person that can carry the brand. Jinder Mahal is not that person. That person's probably going to be Carmelo Hayes.
But how are you going to legitimize?
It could be Grayson Waller, to be honest with you.
I kind of hope it is, but how do you legitimize Bron Breakker with Jinder Mahal when Jinder Mahal, what legitimate, what is legitimate about him?
He's a former champion. If you
there's no way. I don't see it.
Look, I understand that you don't see it, but here's the thing. Of the former champions that they have on the main roster right now, you're not going to bring anyone else down to lose to Bron Breakker. You're not going to bring a Seth Rollins. I mean, Ziggler, they already did.
Mm-hmm.
Ziggler, he's a former champion, legitimized them more. It's the same thing with there's no one else on the roster. Like maybe Kofi, but I can't say I'm doing that with Kofi.
No.
But who else? I mean, who else has a current roster that's a champion that's they're gonna bring down? They're legitimizing him. They want him to be this megastar.
If he beats him, I'm not gonna look at Bron Breakker and go, "Oh man, he beat Jinder Mahal. Now he's the real deal." I already know that Bron Breakker's better. Bron Breakker was better the first 2 weeks in NXT than Jinder Mahal. Jinder Mahal means absolutely nothing.
No, but to the look, there's fucking stupid matches all the time. You're really harping on one that isn't as big of a. It's literally going to be Jinder Mahal getting beat by Bron Breakker. That's all it has to be.
I don't know. I think you're right. I am taking too much into it. It's just the roster that WWE keeps around that annoys me. That they keep being on television or keep bringing back. And guys like Jinder Mahal, I don't see it. And I hope it's not just because I'm not of Indian descent and that's why I can't get behind him. But I've never been able to invest in Jinder Mahal. I've never liked his promos. Thought his wrestling has been mid ever since. Like, I don't get it. I don't see it.
I'm not saying fucking Jinder Mahal is great. He's not. He's not great. He's not great in ring, but he was on a level that got a tremendous amount of eyes on him. He was in a feud with fucking Randy Orton, a legend of, 14-time champion, and beat him. That legitimized Jinder. I mean, he sucks. I'm not going to say he doesn't suck. He sucks. I mean, he's not my cup of tea by any stretch of the imagination. He doesn't do anything. Like, his promos aren't great, but even him coming down to NXT, he was a main roster. He was a fucking world champion. Coming down to NXT, that's a rub. It's the rub. It's all there is to it. He's not winning the fucking title. Braun will eventually lose it, and he will move to the main roster, but they have to get him as much of a name as possible. So if you draw more eyes to Braun with Jinder, it's not going to be many more, but like I said before, you're not going to bring one of the fucking hottest fucking commodities down to lose to him right now. This doesn't make sense. Basically, what they did with... It's like the reverse of what they did with Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
Kevin Owens had it, though. He understood.
Mm-hmm.
Knows Braun Breaker's not there yet, so they're taking a different approach. Let's get you as main roster ready with main roster people who will help you prep for the main roster. Because if you're in the ring with fucking developmental talent, you're never gonna fucking make it. You gotta have the test. Jinder Mahal is a test. He made it to the big time. And we don't know. Jinder Mahal might be a fantastic fucking teacher. He might not be able to do it, but he might fucking give Breaker the fucking tips that he fucking needs.
I guess.
I'm spinning a negative that is like in your brain, like just the most negative thing. I'm trying to make shine just a little bit of light.
I mean, I see what you're saying. I'm not accepting it. Like, I hate him that much. I hate him like you hate Alberto Del Rio. I think he's a waste of a roster spot. He's a waste of a former champion. There's 1,000 other former champions I'd rather see in that company than Jinder Mahal. And Mark Henry being one of them.
I just don't like Del Rio because he's a piece of shit. I don't think Jinder Mahal's a piece of shit.
I'm not saying that at all. I'm not saying personally. I'm saying from what I see on TV, I don't want to see him on WWE television at all. He could be on AEW if he wants. Or not be on AEW if he wants. Since they love doing that to former WWE guys like Miro and guys like that. He can sign there and be cool for about 2-3 weeks and then sit in catering because they have no idea how to use him.
They got what they needed from WWE. They need a bigger name, but they got...
Well, he's a former world champion. They could use that.
Yeah, they could. He could definitely do something. He'd probably end up in ROH.
Which starts March 2nd TV tapings, by the way. We get ROH TV back.
But when is that? That's on Honor Club?
I believe that's what the plan was, yes.
The guy's worth billions of dollars. Fucking start a fucking streaming site. Dude, just do it. It's stupid not to. You have two brands, and you're really gonna put Ring of Honor. You own fucking Ring of Honor. Make it better and put it on a fucking actual app, and we can pay a normal fucking rate like WWE does, or that like they did, $10 a month.
You can pay a normal rate with Honor Club. What do you mean?
Yeah, but you still have to pay for the pay per views.
Oh well, then that's your gripe. So just have the pay-per-views on Honor Club and you'll be fine, right?
Yeah. No, I want everything. I want Ring of Honor and AEW. I want one.
Oh, app. Okay. Okay, I see what you're saying.
Simplified app. Okay. WWE did it with WWE, WCW, fucking Mid-South.
I got it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just make it fucking accessible. Make it easily accessible and don't charge me extra for the fucking pay-per-views. That's it. Look, I'll work on it tonight. I'll have it done by the AM. Genius level shit. I'll go fucking Rain Man on this bitch. I'm sure Dustin Hoffman a fucking thing or two.
But, I mean, most of all, you have to start watching NXT. You have to find a way to watch NXT.
You know what? There's a lot of things I should and be watching, especially doing this. There's a lot I should, but we all know you're the workhorse of this fucking crew. You get all the fucking the ins, and I just fucking play off of you.
You never watched Vengeance Day, did you?
No.
No. You're so good. They did such a good job with it.
Look, but here's the thing. I believe you.
I know you do.
I believe you. I am glad that you enjoyed it. It's just that if we're not together, I'm probably not going to be able to watch it.
I get it.
Nor will I feel like it. Yeah. I need that. So no one's going to talk to me about it.
That's true.
Not as fun.
Yeah, I get watch it.
I mean, big event, pay-per-views by yourself, it's not as cool. It's not as cool.
No, you're right.
You can suffer through it, but it's just not as fun.
Yeah. Speaking of pay-per-views, we won't be together to see.
Yes.
Coming up this Saturday, we have Elimination Chamber, so we can lead in to Monday Night Raw.
The meat and the potatoes.
Yeah. Again, we're coming off Raw with another incredible promo involving Cody Rhodes.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Remember how we were thinking and we were saying, like, it doesn't make sense for Sammy. Like, literally, like everyone said, it doesn't make the Sammy line, the Sami Zayn storyline just doesn't fit with Cody Rhodes. I'm not sure, kind of changed your mind on Monday, didn't they?
Yeah.
But all that fucking clamoring that everyone did, like, oh, it doesn't make sense. It's got to be Roman. Like, that one promo has you doubting now. It hasn't converted me all the way, but it put that shadow of a doubt in my mind.
That's one thing I'll give you with that promo Monday night. But the only thing I came out of, the only negative I came out of it was.
Don't think negatively.
Just as far as story goes, like if I'm looking at the story and looking at the pieces and how it builds to Saturday, if the guy who's in the ring with Roman isn't sure he can beat Roman, why should I be confident that he's going to beat Roman? Because why should I think he's going to beat Roman if he doesn't even think he's going to beat Roman?
Here's the thing. He's the underdog from the underground. He's the underdog. He needs that crowd motivation. He needs you to believe in him because he can't do it himself. And he needs the Sami Zayn-iverse to get behind him. He has a little bit of doubt. So he needs the fans to be with him, behind him 100%. And they're going to be in Montreal, Quebec, Canada, this weekend.
But where was the doubt when he took that chair and smacked Roman in the back? Like, there was no doubt there. The balls were there then.
The doubt came probably after that. The doubt probably came after he actually felt the brunt of the bloodline.
The beatdown, yeah.
Yeah. He probably was like, oh, maybe this wasn't a good idea. Maybe I should have some doubt. Maybe I should have wrote this out a little longer. Now he's got the doubt. And now when you get the doubt, you think back. You think back, you're like, shit, I've been with these guys the whole time. I've been seeing them do this. Now there's fucking doubt. I lived it now.
So, three options for WrestleMania.
There's only two options last week.
I know. So I'm going to give you three.
Okay.
Roman and Cody. Roman and Sammy, or Roman, Sammy, Cody in a triple threat match. Where Sammy is the undisputed champion. Because that's the only way I think it would be a triple threat, because Roman has to get that rematch. He's going to want it at Mania, and Cody's already guaranteed to match the championship match at Mania, making it a triple threat. Which one do you want to see?
Cody pins Roman. Roman takes that lighter schedule. And it's Cody and Sammy running a storyline. I mean, Sammy just went from 9 months of the fucking one of the greatest story recent storylines, or maybe storylines ever. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I might put it on there. Might put it on there on that list. One of my favorites for sure. Agreed. Like, as an adult watching wrestling, one of my favorites, definitely.
Yes.
That didn't involve Seth Rollins.
Mm-hmm.
But
you would rather see that over Cody versus Roman singly, or Sammy versus Roman singles.
I could do the triple threat if Sammy's the champ.
What if Roman's the champ and they find a way of getting, like, I don't see a way. If Roman beats Sammy, I don't see a way of it making it a triple threat, because I think that kind of takes Sammy out of it. So, like, that's why I really don't see that option.
Unless they cheat to win.
Who?
The Bloodline.
Oh. Yeah. I mean, don't you think that's going to happen anyway?
Maybe. I don't know. I honestly don't know. I don't know which way this is going, and I think that's what makes it so interesting.
Yeah, it's unpredictable.
You have a feeling. Like, I thought that Brock was going to beat him. I thought Brock was going to beat him in that. They had me believing Brock was beating him in that, like, crazy-ass match with the tractor.
Yeah.
There was a point there I was like, fuck, Brock's going to win this.
Mm-hmm.
But lo and behold, he didn't. I mean,
there's so many layers to this fucking story, from Jimmy lying to Heyman about what Jay said to him, and Heyman hiding behind the pillar and actually seeing what's going on, to Jay and Sammy behind the production trucks, and Sammy saying he acknowledges Jay. Like, there's so much. And of course, the Kevin Owens connection, which we haven't seen Kevin yet since everything happened. Like, there's so much that could, like, different routes. Go ahead.
I have an option four for you.
Okay, at Mania.
So Cody and Sammy have talked their way into making that a main event. So for Roman's last, before he goes and does his thing or he gets his time off, whatever, his put over is him versus Jimmy Uso or Jey Uso. Jey Uso. And Jey is the new leader of the Bloodline. He's defeated Roman.
Wait. You lost me. Where is Sammy and Cody?
Cody and Sammy, main event WrestleMania.
Oh, okay. So you're saying Sammy wins.
Here's what I'm saying. Jey Uso costs Roman the title.
And Sammy wins Saturday.
So that sets up Jey versus Roman at Mania. It'll be that thing that started the Bloodline will finally come to an end with Jey and Roman. Because that would be the ultimate wrap-up, because that was the start of the Bloodline. Sammy just came in and got hugely over.
Yeah, because Jimmy was out with an injury.
To truly end the Bloodline story, it wouldn't be Sammy beating Roman. It would be Jey beating Roman.
Yeah.
Because that's how this all started. Roman came back, beat the shit out of Jey multiple times in front of his brother.
Mm-hmm.
Basically beat him into line. But he could have been building this the whole time and finding a way to ultimately screw him over. Just happened to be with Sami Zayn, his real brother. His real blood.
What about KO?
So, unfortunately, in this storyline arc that I have built, KO is left out. KO was merely a cog in the machine. He was another one that fell victim to the tribal chief and the Bloodline. But with the Bloodline ending and Jey Uso beating Roman, KO can finally get his comeuppance and turn heel again on the massively over babyface Jey Uso, starting that feud after Mania.
I mean, that's cool. but I want to see a KO match on Mania.
Oh, no, I'm not saying KO won't have a match on Mania.
I'm saying, like, what leads, where does KO, where does that leave KO if this entire build is.
If KO is, so KO won't have a match at Mania, but once Jay beats Roman, KO comes up and pop up power bombs him. It's a massive face and then a huge heel turn. So you get a huge face that just beats Roman, who is going to probably heal it up big time, getting Jay even more over. Jay beats him, massive pop, KO comes out, stuns him or pop up power bombs him. And that sets up the storyline. So you don't get a KO match per se, but you get a great build and a great start for a feud after Mania.
Okay. I have another question for a couple road to WrestleManias that it seems very, very unclear right now. So Monday night, you had a triple threat, Bayley,
yeah.
Belair, Becky. And Becky. Yeah. If Bayley or Becky won, that person would get into the Elimination Chamber and it would start out a triple threat. But Bianca goes over, and Becky and Bayley now have nothing for WrestleMania as to this point. Obviously, I'm sure that's going to change, but
it's them locked in all the way.
Is that that's what you think? Just Bayley, Becky run this the whole way?
Oh, absolutely. They can.
Yeah, and of course they can. Yeah. It actually had me Monday night. Like that, when they made that announcement, I was like, ooh, man, who do I want in? Like, I immediately had one of them winning. I didn't have Belair winning, which I should have seen happening. But, like, I was like, oh, man, Elimination Chamber starting out triple threat, and then you're adding the other, like, this could be really cool. And then Belair goes over, and I got to admit, I was kind of disappointed. Even though I love Bianca, I was like, man, I kind of wanted to see another woman thrown in there.
Here's the thing. It doesn't make sense for Becky or Bayley right now.
I know it doesn't. I mean, being selfish and wanting just to see more chaos.
I get it. It just doesn't make sense. Their paths are set.
Mm-hmm.
They're together this whole WrestleMania ride. So for them to be in the chamber, it just wouldn't have made sense. And it would have taken away some of the spotlight for the women that are actually in the chamber. Because if Bayley or Becky are in it, then you probably think one of them are winning. And it doesn't make sense for them to lose unless one of the other ones cost each other. Yeah. But even then, that's just a pointless way to get back to the story. Still the story. It would just take a detour.
I mean, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with those two. I don't think that story has run dry yet, so I'm good with those two.
So the Mania match is going to have to be Bianca versus one of the women that are in the match, right?
Yeah. That's the
biggest dilemma is, who the hell is it going to be, and who is going to build that intrigue against Bianca? Because besides Asuka, I got nothing.
I don't think you have to say besides Asuka, because I think that's who it is. I think you finally get the evil Asuka, the dark Asuka. I think it has to be, even though she's loved. Here's what I mean right now.
I don't think Asuka beats Bianca at Mania.
I don't think so either.
I think Bianca might.
Although, if they can solidify her as a heel somehow before Mania.
I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't think it is either. I agree.
It's unfortunately going to have a late start to all the other developed storylines that have already started. So it already pushes it back and makes it less meaningful. I don't see how you ramp that up enough to make it more meaningful than all the matches that are already set.
All right.
I'll tell you what's a surprise. The Lashley-Lesnar at the Chamber.
Why?
I could have sworn that was going to be a Mania match.
Why do you think it's not going to be?
Because why would you have them go one-on-one at a pay-per-view before the pay-per-view they should?
I don't think we're going to have a decision.
No.
I think they're going to tear each other up and tear that place up, and we're just going to have chaos. I don't see a decision.
A double count out?
If there's Yeah, some crazy. I don't see a decision. I think that is good enough, and are to kind of push off a little bit.
Gonna have a Donnybrook.
Yeah, I mean, I could be wrong. I can't see anyone else for Brock and Bobby. If this is the end of that now on Saturday, what the hell are they doing leading up? Like, I think it has to be those two at Mania.
Yeah, I don't see why it wouldn't be, but I still feel like it's odd that they're doing it. I guess this is just something that they're going to help build the match to, because they can probably, because Brock's not going to be there every week, probably. So, or he might be for Mania, but even if he's not, at least this keeps some storyline together. They could both get injured till Mania, quote unquote.
So we're a little bit more than a month away from Mania, about a month and 2 weeks away. The match that will steal the show at WrestleMania.
Which night?
The week of this weekend stealer, one that no one can touch. Is it going to be Roman? The Roman match. Just put it that way.
It depends. If it's, it might be, because no matter who Roman's in there with, I think it's going to be the biggest. The only thing is, though, the run that Roman had, is he really not going to main event WrestleMania? He's the guy. Like, that's the only thing that my, as much as I liked what I just said about how this could go, and it could be Jay and Roman to finally end the bloodline feud, I don't think you can have Roman not main event WrestleMania.
I agree.
He is the guy. Like, that's what it all boils down to. Like, your main event match, Cody and Sammy would be cool, but it's not Roman.
It's Roman, honestly, is. I think it's one of the two. I think it's Cody Roman, or I think it's Cody Roman Zayn with Zayn as the title. And honestly, I think for the most part, like, I'm talking 85-90%, it's going to be Roman Cody. I think that's what it's going to be. I think Cody is just, that's the story. It's what it's going. I think Zayn is done Saturday. I think that is going to move on after Saturday. And I don't want it to, but I just have the feeling. That'd be great.
So what's to say that millions of other people aren't going to feel the same way?
What? That they'll be happy that it's still going?
If Sammy wins and they push it to Mania. Like, who's to say that?
Oh, like, people will be ecstatic if that happens. Absolutely. I don't think there'll be many pissed off people.
And who cares if it's a transitional champion? I mean, he got there. He got to the peak.
He beat the guy in his hometown, which doesn't happen in WWE almost ever.
Yeah.
So
for the main title.
Yeah, it's huge. And then he loses it to Cody. Like, that's what's going to happen. But I think no matter what, Sunday night, April 2nd, at about 11 o'clock, Cody Rhodes is going to hold those titles over his head on that ring apron, and that is going to be the end of night two. That's what's going to happen. Whether it's over Roman, whether it's over Roman and Zayn, whether it's over Zayn, whoever it's going to be, Cody Rhodes holds those titles on April 2nd.
I mean, it's hard to bet against that. But stranger things have happened.
Yeah. I would be shocked if Cody Rhodes is not champion on April 3rd. I'll be shocked. Because I would love to be surprised. I would love to be completely fooled and then swerve absolutely everybody.
What if Roman retains?
That would be fucking amazing. It would be so amazing. Because that one would see it coming.
Crowd would lose their fucking mind.
Yeah. It'd be you talk about heat? You think this guy is hated? You think, he's not hated.
I don't think he's hated.
I don't think he's hated either. I don't know what to call it. But, like, he's a heel, but he's not hated. He's an NWO. That's what he is. He is the one-man NWO. He's so bad, and
he's got a screw.
Huh?
He got a bloodline. He's got an elbow.
Yeah, but
he's got a Bischoff and Heyman, who's better. He's got a Hall Nash and the Usos. He's Hogan.
Yeah.
You got fucking six as Sammy.
And we're back to the beginning of the show.
Absolutely. Full circle, baby.
Yes. I can't. I mean, look, Saturday is going to be a fucking amazing card. Elimination Chamber is going to be awesome. But I still, man, I can't wait for WrestleMania.
How crazy
is
it?
So close.
When's the last time you were this excited about WrestleMania?
Well, I mean, selfishly, the one we went to, I was pretty pumped for that one, for 35. But it's WrestleMania season. Like, I feel like Will Ferrell in the beginning of Wedding Crashers. Like, it's wedding season. Like, I love WrestleMania season. It is the best time to be a wrestling fan.
Yeah, it really is. Everyone ramps it up.
Yeah. Even the other companies.
Yeah,
Starting in March, you have AEW Revolution, which AEW doesn't put on bad pay-per-views. They really don't. And then
The last one we watched wasn't great.
What was
it? It was a while ago.
I was going to say...
It could have been BR Live that fucked us on that one, but...
It was BR Live that fucked, because I remember watching that back, and it was a really good pay-per-view with really good matches. We just got real fucked up with BR Live. But they don't put on bad pay-per-views. And then you got the indies that are going to lead that entire fucking weekend, or that entire week beforehand. You got NXT, Stand and Deliver. God, I cannot wait for the end of March. I can't wait. But until then, we have Saturday, Elimination Chamber, an amazing card.
We know what next show is going to be about.
Yeah.
It's going to be a continuation of storylines.
Yes. Yeah. And to see if maybe come next week, Sami Zayn is the undisputed champion.
That's crazy. That makes this pay-per-view that much better.
Mm-hmm.
That one match. And who's in it? Fucking Roman.
Look, we might have a new United States champion. We'll have a number one contender for Bianca Belair's title. We'll know who's going to Mania.
Edge and Beth versus Finn and fucking Rhea.
Although that I feel like is going to continue. I think we're going to get Brood Edge versus Demon Finn, which I hope that is still, even though that's a rumor, I hope that's where we're going for Mania for that. Looks like we're getting Seth Rollins versus Logan Paul, which I'm down for, because those two guys are going to tear it up. Mm-hmm. So, we have a lot that can happen. So, I guess until next week, we'll be talking to you very soon. We hope you enjoyed the show. And thank you for watching and listening.